This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Authentic and John Velasquez have the lead as they come down to the 16th ball. Tis the Law still trying to get him. Authentic, Tis the Law, here's the wire. Authentic has won the Kentucky Derby.
Coming to the 8th pole in the Toyota Bluegrass, Swiss Skydiver fighting on. Art Collector is right there. Art Collector ahead in front. A half length to the good. 16th pole. Art Collector, Brian Hernandez Jr. to win the Toyota Bluegrass.
Welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
And now they're past the 8th pole, and it is Firenze Fire with the lead. Funny Guy giving chase with Share the Ride, but it's going to be Firenze Fire. Victorious in the Vosburgh, 1/3.
See, there's the Devil, strikes the front of the 8th pole. Swiss Skydiver's trying hard, but she's still second. Not today for Gamin. It is She, There's the Devil, turning back Swiss Skydiver, Gamin, and all the rest. She, There's the Devil, scores in the Oaks.
Now, here's Mike Penna.
Hello again, everyone. Good morning, and welcome to what promises to be another five-star edition of the show that launched this great network, the Equine Forum, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, with you, as always, across North America on Sirius 219, XM 201, on our affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country, and coming to you digitally with our live streaming or podcast of the program. Of course, you're listening to that on our website at horseracingradio.net. Well, if last weekend's 7-win and you're in Breeders' Cup Challenge races wasn't enough to get your juices flowing, get a load of this weekend's schedule. And by the way, the Breeders' Cup at Keeneland, now just 34 days, 4 hours, 28 minutes away. You have 4 win and you're in races at Keeneland today, 3 more tomorrow. One at Belmont this afternoon, the Belmont Derby. One at Pimlico today, a little race called the Preakness, which has been added as a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Classic division. That race, of course, also concludes the revamped Triple Crown here in 2020. Not the ideal way that you like to see those three races run, but kudos to the tracks for finding a way to work them in. And as Hall of Fame trainer Steve Asmussen pointed out in an interview with Pimlico's Acacia Courtney earlier this week, these three-year-olds are only three once, and making sure they had that opportunity to compete in the Triple Crown races is significant on a lot of levels. Our exclusive radio coverage of today's Preakness in partnership with NBC Sports Audio Network comes your way from 4 to 6 Eastern this afternoon. I'll be joined by Bobby Newman and Joe Clancy live at Pimlico to bring you coverage of 4 races in that 2-hour window. Yeah, you're going to hear not just the Preakness. You're going to hear bonus coverage of the Grade 1 Thoroughbred Club of America and Grade 1 First Lady at Keeneland and the Grade 2 Black-Eyed Susan, which is the race preceding the Preakness Stakes. You can listen on Sirius 219, XM 201, on our affiliates all across the country. And, of course, you can stream us worldwide at horseracingradio.net. Head over to our website, click on the slider at the very top of the page that talks about our coverage today, and it'll take you to a page that has all of the affiliates listed anywhere in the country. So you'll be able to tune in and enjoy a great afternoon of racing. You also have 5 major Breeders' Cup Challenge races at Longchamp in Paris today, including the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe. So if you didn't get your fill last weekend, gear up, because it's going to be one heck of a weekend of horse racing. Going to be joined by Pete Rotundo from the Breeders' Cup, 8:15 at Eastern after my first commercial break. Pete, one heck of a handicapper, too. And he's going to walk through all of the challenge races coming up later today. I'll be joined at 8:35 Eastern by Keeneland president-elect and future CEO, Shannon Arvin. Really looking forward to that visit. She is the first female to serve in that position and a fantastic choice, in my opinion. So looking forward to talking with Shannon. 8:35. 9 o'clock, you'll hear from trainer Safi Joseph Jr. He gets set to saddle New York Traffic, looking to make amends for his 8th place finish in the Kentucky Derby. Of course, that will be in the Preakness later today. He also has a new rider aboard, so I'll ask Safi about that decision coming out of the Kentucky Derby. 9:20, it's Dustin Fabian. You know him with First Bet and Express Bet. He's been on the show a few times now. He's going to walk through all of the greatest stakes races on today's program at Pimlico. So we've got you covered with the Breeders' Cup prep races, the greatest stakes action at Pimlico. Six of those are on the schedule at Pimlico today. Six greatest stakes. I guess seven if you want to count the Arabian race, but I don't think we'll be spending a lot of time talking about that race. No offense to the Arabians, just a time issue in that segment. NBC racing analyst Randy Moss will wrap up the program with me at 9:40 to look ahead to the Preakness, look back on this year's Triple Crown. And he's been very vocal about changing the spacing of the races and maybe even distances. So I'll ask Randy about that. We'll get his thoughts. He's talked about it on TV a few times now. So looking forward to talking with Randy at 9:40. Post time for the Preakness today, 5:36 Eastern. Of course, no chance for a Triple Crown here in 2020. 11 horses were entered on Monday, four of whom competed in the Kentucky Derby 4 weeks ago, including the Derby winner Authentic and seven newcomers. Authentic made the 9-5 morning line favorite. But, you know, I took a look at the odds last night, and Authentic was not the favorite. Art Collector was bet down to the favorite in the early wagering. Now, keep in mind, that's with limited money in the pools. There will be a lot more money coming in over the course of the next several hours. So, interesting, because Art Collector, one of the newcomers in this year's race, probably the most notable of the newcomers, obviously. He was the favorite last night. He was expected to be among the favorites in the Derby, if you recall, before a foot issue derailed his chances a couple of days before the race. His trainer, Tom Drury Jr., doesn't find himself in the spotlight like this very often, and it's because of the way that he handles his operation. He's usually behind-the-scenes type of guy. It's a small operation. But in the sport of kings, these are the stories that really get our juices flowing. And, you know, Authentic, no surprise that he's going to be the favorite or among the favorites. Obviously the Derby winner. So and it's not just the Kentucky Derby. Authentic, with that win in the Derby, has thrust himself into the conversation with Tis the Law, who is skipping the Preakness, by the way, going to go to the Breeders' Cup Classic at Keeneland. But he's thrust himself squarely into that conversation. Now, Tis the Law looked like it was going to be a chip shot for him to rack up the Eclipse Award as the champion three-year-old. As Lee Corso would say on College Game Day, not so fast, my friend. Authentic is right there with him now. And no surprise that Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert finds himself back in the limelight at the Preakness. He'll be seeking a record 8th victory in this race. He's also going to saddle Thousand Words, the horse that, if you recall, flipped over in the paddock before the Kentucky Derby. You know, I said it on this program, and you heard Bob Baffert before the Kentucky Derby. It sounded to me, reading between the lines in the interview I did with him, that he was a bit higher on Thousand Words and his chances in the Derby than he was on Authentic. Of course, we don't know how that would have played out. So don't overlook Thousand Words today. He's a good horse. The other three horses coming back from the Kentucky Derby, Mr. Big News, Max Player, and New York Traffic. I told you I'll talk to Safi Joseph Jr. about that horse later in the program. If you're wondering about newcomers in the Preakness, since 1980, only six horses who did not compete in the Kentucky Derby have won the Preakness Stakes. The last to do it, Rachel Alexandra in 2009, who, of course, won the Kentucky Oaks the day before the Derby that year and then beat the boys. Swiss Skydiver going to look to do the same this year for trainer Ken McPeak. Favorites, this has been a formful race. Favorites in the Preakness have done very, very well. 73 favorites have won in the previous 144 runnings. That's 50.6%. You think about the national average day in and day out, they usually say it's about 33%, about one-third of the time that you'll have a favorite win a race. 50.6 is the number for the Preakness. So whether it's Art Collector or Authentic, probably want them on your ticket. Not just because they're the favorite, but because this race is formful when it comes to betting on favorites. probably not the race to take a shot against the favorite, put it that way. At least have them in your exactas and tries. All right, poll question for today. You can go to at HRRN on Twitter. It's not really a poll question, more of a question of the day. I thought it would be nice to hear from our listeners. So let me know, where are you listening to the Equine Forum this morning, and how are you listening? Is it on one of our affiliates? Is it on SiriusXM? Are you tuned in to our streaming? Are you Bluetoothing us in your car? And where are you listening to the show this morning? Two-part question, question of the day, at HRN on Twitter. You can do it at Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, and you can email the show, mike@horseracingradio.net, another way. But where are you listening to the Equine Forum this morning, and how are you tuned in to me on the show for the next 2 hours? All right, going to get to a break. I'll come back and kick it all off with some Breeders' Cup Challenge conversation with Pete Rotundo from the Breeders' Cup. This is the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Twin Spires is the best place to bet the Preakness Stakes, and we've got a fantastic bet back offer for every race at Pimlico this Saturday. Simply use the code HRRNBB when you opt in and get up to $10 back if your first win bet doesn't win but runs second or third. That's right, money back if you run second or third. Twin Spires, the official betting partner of the Kentucky Derby. Additional terms apply to bonus. Must be 18 plus or legal wagering age. Void where prohibited. See twinspires.com for details. Terms and conditions apply. Wager responsibly. If you're having a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Pons Family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making such stallions as Malibu Moon. Our current stallion roster includes Mosler by Warfront and Divining Rod by Tappet. Maryland's training center allows us to provide full service from starting youngsters to getting them to the races. We can also help you experience all the excitement of ownership with our partnerships, from the folding barn to the racetrack. Get in the game with Country Life Farm. Visit us at Country Life Farm.
Watch, wager, win. Celebrate the Keeneland Fall Meet by joining Keeneland Select, Keeneland's mobile betting platform, where you can watch live racing and bet from your phone or computer. New signups in October receive a special $50 bonus after you wager $100 on Keeneland Racing this month with promo code FALL20. This is on top of the standard Keeneland Select $100 signup bonus. Join today and start wagering at KeenelandSelect.com.
Tenda Equine and Pet Care Products have been keeping world-class equine athletes happy and healthy for generations. Keep your equine athlete looking and performing well with Tenda Next Generation Wound and Skin Care Treatment. Along with nutritional supplements, leg and muscle care products, salves, hoof care, poultice, topical aids, and grooming products. Visit TendaHorse.com today.
Hi, this is Joe Nicholson. During these difficult times, the team at Nicholson Insurance Agency sends best wishes to all for good health. We can all look forward to better times ahead when this pandemic is behind us. But in the meantime, we need to stay safe. Although the staff at Nicholson Insurance is working from home, phone calls into the office are forwarded so that service remains intact. Customer service professionals continue to be ready, willing, and able to help you with your insurance needs, whether it be equine, farm, home, auto, business, or life. Several of Nicholson Insurance Agency's companies are returning portions of auto premiums because of reduced travel during the isolation period, which I think is the right thing to do. Please call 859-224-7080, Nicholson Insurance Agency. Thank you.
This is Al Stahl, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Newspaper of record now set down, and she explodes with power once again, with one furlong to go. And then it's Stellar Regent to the inside, followed by Concrete Rose. They're coming down to the 16th pole, and it's Newspaper of Record. Stop the presses. This is one fabulous, fabulous filly. And Circus Maximus is right in behind them. A covery charge into the final furlong. Got Stormy and Uni. The two girls take over as they come to the final 16th. Uni to the front. Got Stormy back in the second. Without Parole takes third late behind Uni in the mile.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, with you this morning right up until 10 o'clock Eastern. That was Larry Colmus with the call of Newspaper of Record and Uni, both getting Breeders' Cup victories. The two Breeders' Cup winners squaring off, both from the barn of Chad Brown, and they'll square off today in the Grade 1 First Lady at Keeneland. Yet another win and you're in. I told you about all the win and you're in action around the country. Keeneland, Belmont, Pimlico with the Preakness. It's going to be one heck of a day of horse racing, and we'll have you covered 4 to 6 Eastern today on the network. And Pete Rotundo is with the Breeders' Cup. I told you that he is one heck of a handicapper as well. So I built him up to be this tremendous handicapper. So, Pete, no pressure when you make your selections coming up in a few minutes.
What's going on, Mike? How are you? I haven't talked to you in a while. I've been good.
I know. Yeah, everything's good, buddy. How about yourself?
Good. I'm in Lexington. I'm actually in Lexington. I got on my first plane in like what 7 months this week, so I'm here for the weekend. We got some shows with NBC as well, and yeah, as you said, the action this weekend is unbelievable. I mean, one of the benefits, I guess, well, probably if there are any benefits of what we went through, this would be one where we have all of this crazy action piled up into one crazy weekend.
Yeah, we've heard of, and we've seen them in the sport before, of Super Saturdays, where you package all these graded stakes together. Typically, they're at one racetrack, but now we have a multitude of racetracks all teaming in to contest Breeders' Cup Challenge races, and, you know, outside of the Breeders' Cup Challenge races, too. You've got some great races like the Black Eyed Susan and all the graded stakes at Pimlico today and the other stakes at Belmont. So, look, there are other races that will have an impact on the Breeders' Cup, but in the interest of time, I thought you and I could talk about some of the win in your ends, and again, several
sure.
to talk about today. That card at Keeneland, as always, it's loaded, and you would expect it to be loaded with the Breeders' Cup coming back to Keeneland November 6th and 7th. So let's start there. Let's start with the 7th race of the afternoon, which is the Grade 2 Thoroughbred Club of America, purse of 200,000, fillies and mares, 3-year-olds and up. They're going to sprint 6 furlongs on the main track. Just a 7-horse field, but quality, quality, quality.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, we're good friends with the Matisse brothers, right? Paul and Duke back in the backyard at Saratoga for many, many years. In fact, you know, this year with Saratoga being the way it is, we recreated the backyard in the house that I live in, and earlier the house we rented for a couple of weeks out there. So we were with Matisse brothers. I was with Paul during the Honorable Miss. Oh, and we thought we were going to get there last time. I mean, she went 43-4, which was the fastest half mile, I believe, run at Saratoga all meet, and just missed to obviously a fantastic filly, Come Dancing, who came up the inside. I mean, she's going to go obviously from the outside, and if anybody tries to go with her, they have no shot. So I mean, you have to look at it's a Grade 2. You want to try to get that black type, their fillies, right? Think about the future for them. I think they have to let her go and hope she comes back, but I don't see her coming back. I think Ladies Island probably goes wire to wire, sneaking out the only other one that seems logical to me. You know, obviously trying to get her ready for Breeders' Cup, keeping her fresh. You know, I don't love being down on the inside, and she's going to have to chase Ladies Island. But I think it's probably, I hate to pick the favorites, as you probably know, but if you look at Ladies Island and sneaking out, going 1-2 around the track.
Yeah, pace makes the race, as they say, and Ladies Island does appear to be the speed of the speed, as they say. And you're right, that those blazing fractions at Saratoga and the Honorable Miss, she was, you know, as gutsy as you could be to hang on and just get beat at the wire, and she looks like she could be a handful today. That First Lady, Thoroughbred Club of America, is a win and you're in for the Filly and Mare Sprint Division. So we'll see if Ladies Island can punch her ticket to that race at Keeneland coming up in early November. The next race, Pete, let's take a look at that one. It is the First Lady, Grade 1, and 1 mile on the turf. And you heard the rejoin coming out of the break with Newspaper of Record and Uni. What a showdown between those two. And then you throw in a couple of the others, and we've got one heck of a horse race.
Oh, I know. I mean, two Breeders' Cup winners, you know, going at it from the same barn. It's I don't know if that's happened in a, you know, unless Chad Brown's done it already in the past. But
yeah,
it's obviously Newspaper Record, you know, such love for that horse, you know, the way she shows off when she goes to the lead, and she's got that hold, and you just feel like she's going to do it. And then sometimes she just gets run down at the end, right? And sometimes she doesn't. So it's hard, you know, from a gambling and betting point of view, I really don't know what's going to happen with her. I mean, obviously she's going to be out there on the lead. I think Lucas has this Crystal Lake who's, you know, stepping in, you know, going from 5.5, 6.5 furlongs, now stretching back out with Talamo. You figure like she might put a little pressure on her. It's a bit of a, you know, scramble with her. And then Uni ran, you know, didn't run well last time, but weirdly, if you remember that race at Saratoga, the 4-star Dave, none of the Chad Brown horses ran well. He had 4 in the race and none of them hit the board. I think they were all outside. And if you remember, Halliday went wire to wire, got Stormy, chased him around the track. So you can give an excuse for Uni last time, but then you know how these, as they get older, you're like, well, maybe she's not, you know, maybe she's not into it anymore. Just wants to, you know, she'll run okay, but maybe she's thinking about the next life as well. So I'm going to go with Delica at 10-1 on the morning line. I think that race last time at Kentucky Downs stretched out, went really fast. I mean, if you watch the races at Kentucky Downs, which I did, and I noticed a lot of the speed didn't hold on, right? They'd be up there, and then someone would pass them all, right? Right at the end. And this one ran the whole way on the lead, ran really well. I think could probably be stay close to newspaper record with Saez, of course, only, you know, when he's aggressive, and that's what we love. So might get the perfect trip, and you're going to get a price. So I'm thinking Delica.
Yeah, great value. And that First Lady, a winning year in for the Philly and Mare Turf Division. Race number 9 following that race is the Grade 1 Claiborne Breeders Futurity. For the 2-year-olds, a winning year in for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. This is always one of those races, Pete, that, you know, look, I love those other races too, but this one really does get my juices flowing because you start to think about the future stars of the sport and you see some of these horses that are by young sires and they start to jump up and you start to get a picture of what can be for the future. This is a really cool race.
Oh, yeah, always. I agree with you. And, you know, this year, especially with it being a Keeneland, the Breeders' Cup, you have the Future Stars Friday, as you know, on the Friday of Breeders' Cup, where all the 2-year-olds will run. And, yep. I look forward to this one. But more especially, you know, when the Breeders' Cup's going to be, you know, at the home track in a month. So we do this show on Thursday nights with Nick Luck and Brittany Ertin called Cocktails and Conversation. We tried to bring on some of the stars in the sport, and we've had on Kenny McPeak, and we just had Brett Cox on this weekend. And Kenny, back in the summer, mentioned, he goes, listen, I have some 2-year-olds that I haven't even unveiled yet that, you know, we're going to win the Breeders' Cup. He basically said, we're going to win the Breeders' Cup Juvenile or Juvenile Fillies this year, you know, because he has never won a Breeders' Cup race. He's hit the board a million times, but he's never actually done it. He's like, this is the year. You mark my words. So every 2-year-old now that I see run from him, I'm on the lookout because he was so confident. Now, I know he's like that to begin with, but long story short, I think King Fury is going to probably sit the trip. It looks like there's a lot of speed in the race. A lot of horses will go for it. I think he'll just get over, tuck in, and maybe able to make that late move down the right. He's been the distance already. He's bred fantastically. I could see him, you know, coming on late. And then we just had Brad Cox on, and he was talking up Essential Quality, saying, you know, this horse will stretch out, and obviously royally bred from the Godolphin group, so tap it all over the place. So I think those two I'm looking for.
Yeah, good prices too. And, you know, maybe Kenny was referring to the filly Simply Ravishing, who dominated the Alcibiades yesterday.
Yeah, well, he started naming them, and then he said, and there's some I haven't even unveiled yet, and this is back in early August. So now I'm looking through and I'm saying, why didn't I pay more attention? This one was 6-1 in September. I was like, I'm missing them all.
Oh, it's a great game, isn't it? It's a great game. The Shadwell Turf Mile is race number 10, grade 1, purse of $750,000, 1 mile on the turf. And, again, another race where you can go a lot of different ways. It's a big field of 11. How'd you see that one, Pete?
I mean, simple for me. I mean, I think people are going to try to overthink this one. I'm a Halliday fan. I bet him. I had him on July 26th in the Baron Baruch when Louis, for whatever reason, didn't go to the lead and let some like it hop around, you know, skate around there and wire them. Then he said, we're not doing that again. So he went to the lead. Last time, wire them. You know, he's a four-year-old. His third race off his little freshening there. He's getting better with every race. You know what he's going to do. I don't have to guess. He's going to the top. And he's the fastest horse in the race. So, you know, and why, you know, 5-2, 3-1, I'll take it.
Yeah, yeah, why not? That wraps up the Keeneland races. We still have the Belmont Derby to talk about, the Belmont Derby Invitational at Belmont Park today, 1.25 miles on the inner turf and the Preakness. And looks like I've got about 3 minutes or so left, Pete. So let's jump into that Belmont Derby. How'd you see that one?
Well, I had Gufo last time, thought he was going to get there in the last jump. He didn't. I think he's 1.25 miles is like, you know, he just can't wait for this. Just a little further than last time. You know, again, rounding into form, got the speed figures. I just think, you know, he could get there over domestic spending. Again, not getting very creative there, but I'm looking for Gufo to get there.
All right, Gufo at 3-1. That's race 9 at Belmont. Again, 1.25 miles on the inner turf. How about the Preakness today? Winning your in for the Classic. How cool is that this year?
I know. We added that late. I mean, it working with Preakness and made sense, right? Helps, you know, fill the field up a little bit, maybe take a shot. And like, oh, there's some bonus, a sense of bonus attached to it, but you get the free entry into the Classic. So, I think it's an interesting race. Again, jockeys, right? Paco Lopez jumping on Max Player. What's he going to do out of the gate? You know, you never know. And then you have Thousand Words, who's co-owned by Spendthrift, who obviously owns Authentic. You know, we've seen this movie before with Baffert, you know, having a couple in there. Maybe he's in there to just, you know, clog it up a little bit so his big boy Authentic gets his clear run. I think, you know, last in the Derby, I said Authentic would either win or run last. He won. I think he's going to win again. I think Art Collector and Swiss Skydiver are really good. I just don't think they get the perfect trip this time. They can't go if they go with Art Authentic, or if they go too fast to be in front of him. I just don't see the scenario, especially down on the inside with Thousand Words right to their outside. I just see I see problems. So I think Authentic gets there. I think Mr. Big News is rounding to form. He ran huge last time. Why can't he step up again? It's only his third race off his layoff. And then for a long shot, I'm using Pneumatic, who I picked in the Belmont, probably too much too soon. And then now 3 months later, he's maturing. He'll get that nice – he'll just follow Authentic around the track. So those are my three, but I think Authentic gets there again.
I told you he was a heck of a handicapper. Well, I guess that kind of remains to be seen. We'll take a look and see what happens this afternoon, but he's certainly on top of the game. There's no doubt about it. He is Pete Rotundo from the Breeders' Cup. Pete, 34 days, 4 hours, 2 minutes until the World Championships at Keeneland.
Thanks, Mike, and have a great weekend, all right?
Yeah, thanks for taking the time, bud. Appreciate it. All right, Pete Rotundo here on HRRN. Yeah, really. He really is a fantastic handicapper. He does it all the time. And you heard him talk about his Saratoga setup. That's really cool. He lives and breathes the sport of horse racing, and appreciate the visit. That interview, as all of our interviews on the show, brought to you by Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love and embrace your passion at embracetherace.com. Again, poll question today. Let me know, where are you listening to the show and how are you listening this morning? You can go to @HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, and you can email the show, mike@horseracingradio.net. Some of those replies are already starting to trickle in. We have Ron, who says he's streaming. The website is excellent. I'm running errands in the car, and that's typically how I listen. And we have another listener, Chris, who says he's listening at the Oklahoma training track in Saratoga Springs. So pretty cool stuff. Appreciate it. Another listener tuning in on XM201. Get to another break. This is your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you every Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington. When I come back, I'm going to visit with Keeneland's president-elect, Shannon Bishop Arvin. This should be a nice interview. Looking forward to it right after your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
Saturday, March 12, 1966, marked the end of an era in thoroughbred racing. It was Act 3, Scene 3 for a jockey who went out the way it was meant to be, a winner. That day was, without a scintilla of doubt, the singular, most moving, dramatic day in the long and most illustrious history of Fable's Santa Anita Park. Indeed, there was more feeling and emotion than you could cut with a proverbial fork. Yes, more than on March 4, 1940, when Pappy, the great old C.S. Howard campaigner Seabiscuit, managed to score a victory in the Santa Anita Handicap on what amounted to three legs and a veritable mountain of courage after coming out of retirement. And yes, more feeling than when Citation, thwarted first by injuries and then by his brilliant adversary Noor, in his indomitable quest to become racing's very first million-dollar earner, finally made it on a golden California afternoon in July of 1951 at Hollywood Park. Because, you see, on this particular day, the final paragraph was written to an unbelievable storybook ending of the single most extraordinary saga of a jockey in all of racing's legend, lore, and mystique-filled history. On this day, that paragraph was written in capital letters and finished with an exclamation point. The gentleman who's the subject of this story was born in England, came to the racetrack out of a Canadian coal mine. Compositely, his career included 32,500 mounts, 6,032 winners, and a legacy among racing aficionados that lives to this day. In his final race, he was aboard George Royal, a Canadian bred at that, in a final twist of irony, and he won the San Juan Capistrano Handicap with a ride that was a trademark of his uncanny talent and had stamped him as the riding great for most of the four decades as a saddlesmith. His final day in the iron, so to speak, was announced with dramatic suddenness. It was totally unexpected and was, in no small measure, responsible for Santa Anita's largest crowd of the season, 60,000-plus. George Royal, our subject's mount, had won the Capistrano the year before, but had gone unplaced in four starts during the 1966 campaign and was listed at nearly 7-1 with betting public at post time. This in spite of the sentimental attachment to the subject of this dissertation who was in the saddle. Most of those in the vast assemblage on hand felt this rider had chucked up his final victory when he booted home a horse named Chiclero in the fourth race on that day's card. And that victory had been scored in rather typical fashion for this little reinsman on the Bill Daly and then nursing his mount home to the wire. The camera and newsmen duly recorded that bit of history, which, as it turned out, was not nearly of historic import it appeared to have been at the time. In the Capistrano, something warm and gentle and dramatic of the ilk of the Frank Capra classics of the cinema was about to unfold. As our man got a leg up in the paddock, the enormous throng cheered long and loud, and many openly wept for the little man who had provided countless thrills for the racing public all over the country. The little man bit his lip to keep from showing the tears welling in his eyes. The display of heartfelt adulation literally unbounded and heretofore unseen and unheard at a racetrack. While the race itself, Bobby Ussery took Plaque to the front to set the early fractions and was still in the lead and drawing away from his nearest rival, Polar C. But now Hillrise, who was the post-time favorite, and George Royal both commenced to move together from off the pace. Hillrise could not stay with George Royal's strong move, and as George Royal moved boldly toward the front runners in the brightly glistening late afternoon California sun, track announcer Joe Hernandez got the crowd cheering and screaming like a clap of thunder with the dramatic unfolding of the race to the wire. George Royal was fourth, third, second, with only Plaque to catch in the drive to the wire. With less than a furlong to run, George Royal came abreast of Plaque, and those two raced right together, matching strides in a heart-pounding display of thoroughbred racing. In the very final jump, our subject was able to get his horse up to stick his nose in front of the wire, and a finish that left a huge throng absolutely agog. Our man came back to the winner's circle for the last time, dismounted, got on the scale, and began that long, last walk back to the jockey's quarters, amidst both tears and cheers of adulation for a true champion. He'd gone out the way the script should have been written, a winner. That man and the story of that race were the stuff of which Shakespeare's dreams are made. He was Johnny Longden.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Pena, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. Talk horses,
and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
The 2020 yearling consignments of Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud are loaded with graded stakes prospects once again. Their consignments at Fasic Tipton and Keeneland September include half-siblings to current graded stakes horses Bell's the One, Dean Martini, and Indian Pride, as well as full sisters to Grade 1 winner Street Band and recent Saratoga Stakes winners Speak to Me of Summer and Kariba. Brereton C. Jones's carefully developed female families are brimming with exciting updates. Airdrie Stud's yearlings are raised for the racetrack. Think about it.
The 2020 Thoroughbred Owner Conference is being offered virtually November 3rd and 4th. We are committed to providing the Owner Conference in as safe and healthy an environment as possible. Experience 9 panels with expert speakers, moderators, and a keynote address. Ask questions of speakers from your home, office, or anywhere you are. Visit ownerview.com to register and be part of this important event while staying safe, healthy, and comfortable. Wherever you are, we'll be there. Visit ownerview.com today.
Isn't it great when things come together just right? Four Roses Small Batch brings together 4 of our 10 distinct bourbon recipes to achieve an award-winning bourbon with exceptional balance and a smoothness that's enjoyable neat, on the rocks, or as the foundation of a craft cocktail. Four Roses Small Batch, a perfectly balanced top-shelf staple. FourRosesBourbon.com. Be mellow. Be responsible.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making such stallions as Malibu Moon. Our current stallion roster includes Mosler by Warfront and Divining Rod by Tappet. Maryland's training center allows us to provide full service from starting youngsters to getting them to the races. We can also help you experience all the excitement of ownership with our partnerships, from the folding barn to the racetrack. Get in the game with Country Life Farm. Visit us at CountryLifeFarm.com.
Hi, I'm Richard Migliori, and I love listening to Horse Racing Radio Network. Good night, Barbados.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
They turn for home, authentic by a length. New York traffic won't go away. He's trying hard, and Dr. Post finding his best drive, but has 5 to make up. Authentic just breezing through the stretch. Opens up to lead it by 3 lengths. New York traffic trying so hard, and he is closing the gap now. Here comes New York traffic after Authentic. Authentic, New York traffic are going to hit it together. Here it is. Photo finish, Authentic and New York traffic. Then it was Dr. Post third, and Jesus' team finished fourth.
Frank Mirabotti with the call of the Haskell Invitational. Authentic holding off a fast-closing New York traffic. They'll get a rematch yet again in the Preakness Stakes this afternoon. Post time for the Preakness shortly after 5:30 Eastern time. Of course, you'll hear all that coverage with us this afternoon in partnership with NBC Sports Audio Network. We'll bring you that coverage 4 to 6 Eastern. Make sure you tune in. And you can tune in on affiliates across the country and listen worldwide at horseracingradio.net and right here on Sirius 219 XM Channel 201. Don't forget that this weekend at Woodbine, there is still live stakes action taking place. Today, you have the Toronto Cup, which is a turf stakes for 3-year-olds going a mile, and you have the Duchess Stakes for the 3-year-old fillies. And on Sunday, tomorrow, the Vice Regent Stakes for 3-year-old Ontario Breds. First post both days is 1:10 p.m. Eastern. For more racing and horse player information, simply visit woodbine.com. Well, Woodbine, not the only place with great racing action this weekend. You saw a couple of win-in-your-ins at Keeneland on opening day of Fall Stars weekend yesterday. And then today, the beat continues with so many of the top horses in the country set to compete here in the Bluegrass. I told you 4 win-in-your-in races at Keeneland today, 3 more tomorrow. And I have the privilege now of being joined by Shannon Arvin, who is the president-elect. That title began on September 1st, and she will officially transition to president and CEO of Keeneland on January 1st of next year. She will become the 8th president and the first woman to serve in that position, and it is truly an honor to welcome Shannon Arvin to the Equine Forum this morning. Shannon, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I am well. Thank you for taking the time, and nice to hear your voice again. Happy opening weekend, by the way.
Thank you. We're so happy to be here opening weekend. We're missing our fans, but we're excited to welcome them back just as soon as we can.
Yeah, you're doing it in a little different capacity this year. You've been a partner in Stahl Keenan Ogden the past several years. You've served as corporate counsel to Keeneland since 2008 and as secretary and advisory member of Keeneland's board of directors since 2015. A little different view of the action this year for you. What's it been like so far?
It is different to be on the inside, you know, through the sales and through the race meet. We've got a great team, and it's been interesting to see the stamina of our team from the inside, you know, these long days, this resiliency and real teamwork that we're showing to be able to put on the show. So it's fun to be on the inside.
Tell me about receiving the news that you would be Keeneland's new president and CEO.
You know, I received the news, the ask from Bill Lear, who is one of our trustees and has been a mentor of mine and a partner at Stahl Keenan Ogden for 18 years where I've been. He was also a good friend of my dad's. So it was emotional. It's such an honor and it's such a privilege, and it's hard to imagine a greater opportunity. You know, somebody said, did you take it overnight to think about it? And we really did. You know, I have two children, a 9-year-old and an 11-year-old and a husband and a full life. And we did stop and think, okay, is this good for our family? Is this good for ourselves? And then I thought, can I do a good job for the industry? And I did take some time to think about that. And it was exciting to be able to come out and say yes. You know, when I told my children, we hadn't announced it publicly, but we told them at dinner one night, and they kind of looked at me and said, but Mom, you already work at Keeneland. I said, well, that's right. So it was exciting.
Why did you feel like it was going to be the right fit at this time in your life for you and for your family?
You know, I think the pandemic and quarantine and spending a lot of time thinking and pondering kind of where you are in life and where you want to go. I have been really lucky to be counsel to a lot of great organizations in this industry and to be a part of a number of teams, and I've learned so much from all of them. But I think I was ready at the end of the day to be on a team, to be fully 110% on a team, and I can't imagine a better team than Keeneland. This is such a special place to so many people in our industry and in our community, and I've always felt called here and very comfortable here, so it just felt like the right choice.
Yeah, it's not just that you're part of the team now. You are the head coach, the general manager of that team. You're the one calling the shots and steering the ship now. Pretty awesome responsibility, isn't it, Shannon?
It is. It is. But we're ready.
Is it a little bit daunting in some ways, too?
Some days it feels
daunting,
but I think like anything, I just step back and not be daunted and not let it get overwhelming and do what so many of us have done for our whole careers, which is just one foot in front of the next and take the facts as they exist in front of you and make the best decision you can and use good judgment. And it's really great at Keeneland because we've had the same mission since 1936. So there really aren't any games here. It's what is best for the industry, and that guides all of our decisions, and that makes it easier in a lot of ways.
Well, you mentioned 1936, and that goes back to the year that your grandfather, W.T. Bishop, was the first general manager of Keeneland when the track opened that year. So you have a pedigree that screams Keeneland. It's not just about your grandfather, but your father, Buddy, as well. Tell me about your background and why you feel like you're, I guess, carrying on the legacy, if you will.
So my grandfather was the first general manager in 1936, and he was here until 1971. And in 1971, he went and worked with the Sellas to get Oaklawn up and going, and he enjoyed his time in Arkansas as well. And I think, you know, such a big part of him was poured into Keeneland, and he had such a connection here. And then my dad grew up in the Keeneland offices, actually. That's where their apartment was. I think it sounds more glamorous now than it was. My mom tells me the story of how modest, really, the apartment was. But he was lucky to be running around on these grounds. We've got lots of pictures of him riding ponies when he was little on these grounds, working with the maintenance crew. So it has been a special place to my family. And Dad passed away in 2008. I don't think he groomed me in any way for this spot. It wasn't anything he and I had talked about. Certainly the role of counsel we had, and I was lucky to work alongside him for 7 years until he passed away. So I got the benefit of seeing him in a professional setting and kind of how his moral compass guided him, which I always saw it do. But it is great to have that continuing connection, and that part feels very natural and good as well.
What do you think your dad would say if he were here today and he could see you in this position?
Well, I think he'd be thrilled. It was funny. He was a crier. And a lot of his friends have said, boy, buddy would really be crying now. I think he'd be thrilled. I think the truth is he would be just as thrilled if I went to be very happy as a school teacher. But certainly everybody has some thought of what their legacy might be. And for him to know somewhere, wherever he is, that this is part of his legacy, I think he'd be thrilled.
Talking with Shannon Arvin here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. She will take over officially as president and CEO of Keeneland January 1st of 2021. That'll be here before we know it, but she is now embarking upon her first full meet as the president-elect, as the October fall meet is underway. Shannon, what are some of the goals, some of the things that are top on your list to try to accomplish as you start to get into this role a little bit?
You know, I think what guides us always is safety and integrity and innovation. We've got so many great traditions. I think sometimes we get the reputation of being too staid in our traditions, and I definitely see the value of the traditions, but I believe we need to innovate and move forward, help move the sport forward. As we are working through a pandemic, nothing looks like we ever could have imagined. But I think there are a lot of silver linings that will come out of that. I can't say what all of those are right now. I'm mindful that our sales started during World War II in 1946 when they couldn't ship horses to New York. So think about how that has changed the shape of our company and the industry as a whole. So who knows what will come out of this. But we're working hard every day to find those silver linings. During the September sale, we had internet bidding for the first time, which was really interesting. I think we all kind of held our breath to see what that would look like. We had over 1,800 bids on the internet, 126 purchases, and over 12 million in horses sold on the internet. So I think that was a success, and I can definitely envision that that'll be part of our business model going forward.
Now, that's one thing that makes Keeneland unique, is that unlike a racetrack, say, such as Belmont Park, for example, or Saratoga, or Del Mar, you have your own auction company attached to the racetrack, and a lot of revenue is generated from the auction company. It's different in that respect, and that has to alter your approach a little bit as to how you look at the bigger picture, doesn't it?
Oh, it definitely does. And racing and sales are our core businesses, and they are so important to this organization and so important to the industry and the roles those play. So it is very different from other organizations internationally, and both are critical to what we do.
Well, as somebody, Shannon, who grew up here in Lexington, grew up going to Keeneland and being around that environment and that atmosphere, it has to be somewhat eerie and surreal for you to walk around Keeneland now without fans there, without that roar of the crowd that we're used to seeing. That has to be a little bit different. What was that like yesterday?
It was very different. You know, I was here in July. I came out to the race meet in July, and it was even quieter, and it felt very surreal. Yesterday we had a few more people than we had in July, but it still really was quiet. And even the few people that were here remarked how quiet it was. So I think everybody's ready to get back to a time when we can have the roar of the crowd. But, you know, we are governed and guided by what's responsible in the face of this pandemic. So that's paramount for us, just making sure that the people we have here are safe, our employees are safe, our jockeys are safe. We've just got to follow that and hold the line.
Well, Shannon, over the past few years, I've had the privilege of moderating a few of the owner view panels that you have participated in. And, you know, when this news came out that you were going to be the new president and CEO of Keeneland, Michelle and I were sitting working that day, and we looked at each other and we said, that is one fantastic choice on the part of Keeneland. So well done. Congratulations. Couldn't be happier for you and for your family. And all the best. I'm sure we'll catch up again, but all the best moving forward as the new head of Keeneland.
Thank you so much, Mike. I appreciate it. It's good to talk to you this morning.
You too. Shannon Arvin here. You talk about a star. You know, she has been when she was at Stall Keen in Ogden. The times that that I moderated those panels with her, and to listen to her talk and how smart she is, and her grasp of the business and the industry. And of course, she knows the history of Keeneland as good, if not better, than anyone. You heard her talk about that. This is just a tremendous choice. And congratulations to Shannon Arvin for being elected to that position. Just a great call on the part of Keeneland there. Going to get to another commercial break. When I come back, it's time for your Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris. The second half of the program features Safi Joseph Jr., Dustin Fabian, and NBC's Randy Moss. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the 2020 Triple Crown and Breeders' Cup.
Power.
Caraconti has won.
Passion.
It's Caraconti winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Caraconti and O'Dor! Caraconti!
Gainsway Stallion Caraconti, a precocious Group 1 winner as a 2-year-old and a 3-time Grade 1 winner, including a scintillating win in the Breeders' Cup Mile in 1:32 and 4/5. Caraconti hails from the immediate family of leading sire King Mambo, with a top female line which includes the hugely influential champion Miesque as his third dam. Caraconti's first crop of 3-year-olds includes graded stakes winners Sole Volante and Kenzai Warrior, along with stakes winners Carrick, Tornasol, Catil, and Great Winner. Recently, Spanish Love Affair rolled to an 11-length debut win at Gulfstream. Value priced at just $10,000. He has the performance, the pedigree, and the physical. Come see Caraconti at Gainsway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
46 Solutions makes technology easy. We manage the day-to-day technology needs of Kentucky businesses by offering 24/7 help desk support, infrastructure design, and cybersecurity protection to keep your focus on your business. Our residential engineers can design and install media rooms, home theaters, and make sure your home Wi-Fi network runs smoothly with the best speeds available. Visit 46solutions.com today. 46 Solutions is your technology partner.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
The National HBPA is continuously working to protect the health and welfare of horses by advocating and funding research to help reduce equine injuries, lobbying for a national testing lab to oversee and establish absolute uniform laboratory protocols, advocating for every track to undergo an annual independent surface assessment, passionately supporting off-the-track thoroughbred retirement facilities and adoption groups, and so much more. See additional HBPA initiatives at nationalhbpa.com.
Hey, this is the Big A, Anthony Stabile. Join me and Bobby Newman every Wednesday through Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern for Race Day on HRRN. We'll bring you all the action from places like Belmont, Keeneland, Churchill, and Santa Anita, interviews with the biggest stars in thoroughbred racing, and follow the road to the Breeders' Cup right to Lexington on November 6th and 7th. Tune in on Sirius 219, XM 201, or stream Race Day Live on your home for all of racing's biggest events at horseracingradio.net.
My name is Abel Escanos. Listen to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Welcome back. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, with you on the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on this Saturday morning. It is time now for your Industry Star of the Week, presented by our friend Stuart Morris, who offers a boutique full-service bloodstock operation. He wants to thank his owners, his clients, and his team. He knows his success is because of you. And with multiple stakes horses over the past several years that include Henley's Joy, Our Brain Trust, Malagasy, and Kentucky Derby contender South Bend, Stuart Morris is your source for success at the highest levels. I can promise you that. Visit the Stuart Morris consignment at all of the upcoming major sales. Well, I have been really excited about this particular Industry Star of the Week because she is ultra-deserving, as are all of the finalists in this category. The Godolphin Thoroughbred Industry Awards will take place later this year. I told you I had an opportunity to be a judge last year at Keeneland and interview all the finalists. Well, there are three finalists and the Leadership Award for Breeding. And one of those is Christy Holden from Country Life Farm, and she is with me now as our Industry Star of the Week. Christy, good morning.
Hi, good morning to you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being with me and taking the time. And, you know, I thought it was appropriate, especially on this particular show where we're going to be talking a lot about the Preakness and racing in Maryland and, you know, the spotlight shining on that particular state, that you are the one that we took time to honor this morning. Because I told you when I called you, just to be a finalist in this category, in any category, with the Godolphin Awards is one heck of an accomplishment. You should be very proud.
It's amazing and humbling and, I'm very honored.
You know, this isn't something that comes overnight. You began working at Country Life very early on in your life, in your racing career. Take me back to the beginning and tell me about how this all came about.
Sure. I started there when I was 15. It was my, you know, first summer job, weekend job during high school. And I grew up in Bel Air, right, you know, near Country Life. So always loved horses and had taken riding lessons. And so I was kind of a barn grunt then. I just mucked stalls and fed and turned out and unloaded wagons of hay and straw and did kind of everything on the farm and loved every minute of it. Came home tired every day and ate dinner and went to bed, basically. So it was a great job. I loved working there. And my first day on the job, I had a little bit of experience with horses. And so Josh put me to work and he said, well, since you know horses, it was summertime and you know, we took temperatures on the babies every day. So he sent me out in the field with a pen and a pad of paper and a thermometer and said, take the temperatures of all the foals out there. And I think he did it as a joke to sort of, you know, he didn't think I'd be able to go by myself and take temperatures on, I don't know, 20, 30 babies that were out in the field. But I did. I stayed out there a couple hours and came back with all the temps. And I think from there, he was sold on me and kept me around.
Yeah, you were promoted to general manager in 2015. And I imagine, and correct me if I'm wrong, Christy, when you started and as a teenager and you first got involved, you probably never imagined that you'd be sitting here in this position, let alone a finalist for the Godolphin Awards, but sitting here in the position as general manager of that historic farm.
No, it's actually a funny story. I went to college. My parents insisted that I get a college education and not, you know, try to make a career of horses without having some kind of something to fall back on. So I went to college and I didn't know what I wanted to major in. And I sat down with my advisor and she said, well, what do you see yourself doing one day? And I jokingly said, oh, I'd like to run a horse farm, maybe like Country Life one day. And so she said, well, let's do business management, business administration. So I got my degree in that. And I actually, after college, worked at an insurance agency for a few years and then actually went and helped my parents. My father was the local fire chief, and he had a fire truck equipment and sales business that he ran out of the home. And he and my mom ran that. So when my mom wanted to retire, I was totally bored and unhappy in the insurance industry and working at a cubicle all day. So they suggested I come take over for my mom and help my dad run and my brother ran it, was working there too. So I did. I took over for my mom and sort of ran the office and did the payroll and all that kind of stuff and handled fire truck equipment sales. So I did that for a bunch of years until my dad retired and then my brother and I, things changed and we just decided to dissolve the business. So that's kind of when I came back to Country Life. I had had two children. I'm married. I have two boys and I was kind of a stay-at-home mom with them when they were little and was looking for something to do once they got into school and went back to Country Life to actually get into one of the breeding partnerships with my husband and sat down with Josh and said, you know, I might have to come back to work here to pay for my expenses on the partnership. And he's like, come back. I'll take you in the office. You can help me out and do, you know, partnership contracts and stallion booking contracts. And so that's how I came back probably, 15, 16 years ago, was to kind of work part-time and help out in the office. And then that morphed into kind of being the broodmare manager after our broodmare manager retired and then general manager. I've kind of done it all there, so it just was a natural progression to go from one to the other.
Well, as part of the nomination process, Christy, for the Godolphin Awards, there's a category on the sheet which says give at least one example of a specific situation where this nominee went above and beyond his or her duty to help horses, humans, or both. And those stories, when I was a judge last year, would in many instances almost bring you to tears, because there were so many moments that were very emotional in people's lives in this business. And you had a couple of situations there. One, I don't know if you've seen what was written, but one, a particularly difficult 3 a.m. foaling where it says, Christy lay face down on the frosty February ground with her arm shoulder deep in the mare to untangle a twisted foal so it could be delivered safely, with thanks from the mare coming in the form of a severely bruised arm from her contractions. That was just one. In another instance, it said that on the same evening, one mare lost her foal. And while a foal lost her mom, with approval from both owners, Christy and her team spent 26 hours around the clock to successfully persuade the mare without a foal to accept the orphaned foal, which is a bit unusual for a thoroughbred mare. Those are the two instances that they chose to cite. Do you remember those two? I'm sure you do. Those two times.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. The one mare, yeah, the foal was hung up. Both front legs were folded back, and I worked, and, you know, we're an hour from New Bolton. So, you know, in a delivery like that, you can put them on the van right away and send them up, but an hour drive, things aren't looking good. So I try to fix them if we can on the farm. I had one leg free, and we took her outside and kind of aimed her downhill, and she laid down. And that way I could get gravity to help push the foal back in. And, yeah, I was able to get the foal out. And that was incredible. But, yeah, the next day, both of my wrists and forearms were completely black and blue from just, you just can't imagine the pressure reaching through a pelvis when they're pushing against you. But so that was, yeah, that was a special night. And then the whole adoption story was just heartwarming for everybody involved. Just the timing that, you know, unfortunately one's born and doesn't make it, and then you know, this other mare died foaling, or died shortly after. So to get a thoroughbred mare, yes, to accept another foal is pretty rare. And I mean, it wasn't just me; it was the whole staff. You know, Ellen Pons and Cheyenne, and just everybody. Round the clock, keeping an eye and staying with the mare. I mean, we had to actually hold the mare on a shank, you know, for the first probably 12 hours, maybe even longer, just to make sure that, you know, any time the foal came near her, because she didn't like it at first, but she wasn't that bad that we knew it might work out. So we just stuck with it, and the moment that they did connect, it's just magic when the mare finally just looks over and whinnies at that foal, and you know that it's hers now. It's just indescribable.
Yeah, well, Christy, those two examples, just a couple of the reasons why you are a finalist in this Leadership Award for Breeding category, and you're there with Matt Lyons of Candy Meadows Farm and Wayne Clem from Claiborne. Want to wish you all the best, and again, congratulations on being named this week's Industry Star of the Week, this segment presented by Stuart Morris. All the best, and enjoy Preakness weekend.
Oh, thank you so much.
All right, Christy Holden, General Manager, Country Life Farm in Maryland. Fantastic candidate in that category, as all of them are, and great stories there too. All right, second half of the show comes up next. It kicks off with trainer Safi Joseph Jr. talking about Preakness contender New York Traffic. We're back with that second half right after we pause. 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Tis the Law's got a two-length lead. Dr. Post has moved up on the outside into second. Pneumatic is third, but it is the New York Hero, Tis the Law and Manny Franco, to win the Belmont Stakes.
but it's improbable, who has taken command with an authoritative run from last to first. What a star Improbable has turned into, as he is going to romp in the awesome again.
Welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
And Honor AP runs right by Authentic. And Odor at the rail, and Rushy, a 16th to go. Honor AP, a length and a half. Authentic, Rushy running on late. It will be Honor AP, a very impressive winner of the Run Happy Santa Anita Derby.
Tom's Detas shaken up to a three-length lead. By My Standards is trying hard, but he's still second. Silver Dust is third. Multiplier trying to come on late for fourth. But with a 16th to go, it's total domination for Tom's Data.
Now, here's Mike Pena.
Welcome back. Hour two of the Equine Forum, presented this month by Woodbine Entertainment. Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch, happy to have you with me as we continue to make our way through this this Preakness Day edition. And it's not just about the Preakness. I told you at the top of the show that there are a multitude of Breeders' Cup Challenge races being contested. Of course, the Breeders' the Preakness is one of those, as a win and you're in added for this year's Breeders' Cup Classic. You heard from Pete Rotundo in the first half of the show from the Breeders' Cup, handicapping each of the challenge races that are taking place at Keeneland, Belmont, and at Pimlico later today. And you heard from Keeneland's new president and CEO, Shannon Bishop Arvin, as well, and a fun interview with her. And, of course, Christy Holden, our industry star of the week, just moments ago. If you missed any portion of the show, head back to our website, horseracingradio.net. You can check out a podcast of this show and all of our programs at your leisure. They're all there, horseracingradio.net and Horse Racing Radio Network on Apple Podcasts. Awaiting Saffy Joseph Jr., we are, as they say, efforting Saffy now. He is no doubt busy this morning at Pimlico. We'll get a chance to talk to him about New York Traffic, who readies to go in the Preakness today, looking to make amends for that eighth-place finish in the Kentucky Derby. And I'll talk to him about Sound Machine, his three-year-old filly, daughter of Go Figure, Into Mischief. Trevor McCarthy will be aboard Sound Machine later today in the fifth race of the afternoon, which is the Grade 3 Miss Preakness. So we'll talk to Saffy as soon as we get in touch with him, hopefully momentarily. Dustin Fabian going to be with me, 9:20 Eastern Time this morning. He's from First Bet. Express Bet, you may know it better as Express Bet, but they have switched over to First Bet. Dustin will handicap all the graded action taking place at Pimlico today. And then we'll wrap up the show at 9:40 with NBC Racing analyst Randy Moss talking about this year's Triple Crown and, of course, the Preakness Stakes later today. Throughout a question of the day on our Twitter feed, something a little bit different today, at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. People have also been emailing me, mike@horseracingradio.net, if you want to get in touch with the show. Where are you listening to the Equine Forum this morning, and how are you listening to the show? And Skip, our good friend Skip in North Dakota, says that he is listening live on his morning walk from Fargo, North Dakota. So, Skip, happy to have you with us. Steve in Baltimore said he's listening on our website at horseracingradio.net. Jules is streaming us on Sirius Radio on her phone. Appreciate that, Jules. Nick says streaming on my iPhone in New Jersey. Bill is tuned in. Let's see, what did he say? Preakness infield. All right, that's cool. We'll take that. By the way, that's a little different this year, huh? No fans, no infield. It's always the biggest party in racing. That's what we always say about the Preakness. Not going to happen this year. You usually have some big-name bands that are performing on a couple of different stages out there, and everybody is just having a big time. That's not going to happen. You won't see the chalets and the corporate tents that line the inside of the Pimlico Turf Course. You won't have the roar of the crowd as the horses come down the stretch today. But, hey, it's still Preakness Stakes Day, and we're still going to celebrate it here in the industry. Charles says he's in his car driving to Belmont for his horse Mun Loves in the second race today. So good luck there, Charles. And one other note here, at home, listening on XM Satellite Radio. So appreciate everybody tuning in coast to coast, worldwide, wherever you might be and how you're listening to the show. Really happy to have you on board this morning. Well, again, efforting Saffy Joseph, he is busy this morning, I'm sure, so if we don't get a hold of him, we don't get in touch with him, but it would be sure nice to hear from him and talk about New York traffic and ask him what happened in the Derby. That was kind of a weird race. And earlier this week, I sat down with John Velasquez, the Hall of Fame rider who was aboard Derby winner Authentic. And Johnny did an interview, which folks who are tuning into our Preakness coverage this afternoon from 4 to 6 will hear that interview. One thing that Johnny talked about was the fact that when he broke from post 15 with Authentic, he broke out and he immediately was watching New York traffic to see what New York traffic was going to do, because he knew Authentic had early speed. New York traffic also had speed, and a lot of people thought that New York traffic was going to be the horse to put pressure on Authentic and anybody else that tried to go to the lead. Well, New York traffic had that opportunity. Paco Lopez, who was aboard, chose not to do so and did not pursue New York traffic to the lead, and we know what happened. It wasn't the best of trips for New York traffic. He never got into a comfortable position, and he faded to eighth, beaten 13 lengths. He was 12-1. Wasn't like he was without a shot in the Kentucky Derby. He was one of the horses. Hey, he was a nose behind Authentic in the Haskell in his previous outing. He was one of the horses a lot of people had their eye on as being an upsetter, if you will, in the Kentucky Derby. So because of, I think, and again, without Safi here to ask him, but I think because of the decision by Paco Lopez in the Derby, Safi said, okay, let's go with a rider that has some knowledge of Pimlico here. Not that Paco doesn't, but certainly more knowledge than Paco does. And he went with Horacio Caramanos, who was a regular rider on the Maryland circuit and at Pimlico. So a new rider for New York traffic, maybe that makes the difference today. And we'll see. I don't know. He's doing well. Safi was patient. He waited to see if he was going to come out of the Derby okay. His workout on September 27th, 48 flat, was enough for Safi to say, let's do it. But even beyond the Preakness Stakes, the year that Safi Joseph Jr. has had has been the best year of his career. He won his first Grade 1 race last year with Math Wizard. And then this year has just continued to build for him. And good for him. Because I can remember meeting Safi along with Jude Feld. Jude and I were down at Gulfstream, and Jude had followed Safi for a long time because of his love of Barbados racing. Safi is from Barbados. He's trained a Bayesian Triple Crown winner. And Jude had followed his career for a long time. So when Safi came to the United States, Jude would always tell me about this guy. And I can remember I made the mistake that so many people made when talking about Safi Joseph Jr. They would look at his name in the program, and they would call him Joseph Safi. Because let's face it, Safi isn't exactly the most common name here in the United States. So they would call him Joseph Safi. I did the same thing at first, and Jude said, no. It's Safi Joseph, and now everybody seems to know his name. Leading trainer at Gulfstream Summer Meet. 100 U.S. wins this year. It's the first time in Safi's career that he has reached that milestone for a single year. And I do remember sitting down with him in his barn at Gulfstream a few years back and talking about his career. We spent an hour. Jude and I spent an hour talking to Safi about his life and his career and growing up in Barbados. That led to our relationship with Barbados and Barbados Tourism. And by the way, if you haven't been, we encourage you to make the trip. When you can travel safely, we encourage you to make that trip and attend the Barbados Gold Cup, the Sandy Lane Barbados Gold Cup. That day of racing is like nothing you've ever seen. We had the privilege to broadcast it a couple of times, thanks to Safi. So, yeah, I'm a huge Safi Joseph fan, and I wish him all the best today with New York traffic. Obviously, he's gotten tied up with some other stuff here this morning, so we're not going to have time to get him on the show. But we'll connect with him up the road. What a day. What a day of racing. I'm going to be joined in just a couple of minutes after this next break by Dustin Fabian from First Bet, Express Bet. Going to talk to Dustin about the greatest stakes action at Pimlico today. It's not only about the win and your ins. Yeah, they're going to get a lot of attention because if you win, you're automatically qualified for the Breeders' Cup and you get all the benefits that come along with it. But there are other graded stakes taking place at these tracks today, Belmont and Keeneland and Pimlico, that will have an impact on the Breeders' Cup. Horses will go from those races to the Breeders' Cup, even if they're not winning your ends. So it's a great day of racing. And the Pimlico program has a total of 6 graded stakes, which Dustin will talk about in the next segment. Stay tuned. That's all coming up on the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment, right here on HRN.
World Class Racing is back at Santa Anita, and although we remain closed to the public, fans are encouraged to follow Santa Anita's live video stream free of charge at santaanita.com, and you can also watch and wager via firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. Fans, this Saturday, 3-year-olds and up will go a mile on turf in the Grade 2 $200,000 City of Hope Mile, and fillies and mares will also compete at a mile on grass in the $70,000 Swing Time Stakes. And please note, in addition to the low takeout $5 golden hour late double, we've added the low takeout $1 golden hour late pick 4, which is comprised of the last 2 races at Santa Anita and Golden Gate Fields. And be sure to catch Santa Anita's pre-race handicapping seminar featuring track announcer Frank Marimotti and host Tom Quigley at santaanita.com each racing day at 11:20 a.m. First post time this weekend is at 12:30. Again, our races are live streamed free of charge at santaanita.com.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Deep in the heart of horse country, from these Kentucky hills has sprung a legacy rivaled by few. From the all-time greats of yesterday to the breed-shaping bloodlines of today, our roots hold strong with the promise of tomorrow. For over a century, our passion has guided us to where we stand and everything we stand for. Claiborne Farm, the tradition continues.
Isn't it great when things come together just right? Four Roses Small Batch brings together 4 of our 10 distinct bourbon recipes to achieve an award-winning bourbon with exceptional balance and a smoothness that's enjoyable neat, on the rocks, or as the foundation of a craft cocktail. Four Roses Small Batch, a perfectly balanced top-shelf staple. FourRosesBourbon.com. Be mellow. Be responsible.
Hi, I'm Kayla Stratt, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Calvin Burrell and Rachel Alexander are given a bit of a cue, opening up with a quarter to go at Pimlico. Big drama trying to hold on down to second there. Papa Clem is in between horses. Frisian Fire on the far outside, laboring along with just about a furlong left to go. Rachel Alexander, she's got a 3-length lead. Here comes Musket Man. Musket Man charging, and Mind That Bird on the far outside. The Derby winner, Mind That Bird, closing a late gap. But it is Rachel Alexandra. She's simply above and beyond them. A filly has won the Preakness. Mind That Bird was second. Musket Man was third. Followed in fourth position there by a Flying Private.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum. Mike Penna with you on this Saturday morning, the show all month long, presented by our friends at Woodbine Entertainment. And that was our friend Dave Rodman with the call of the 2019 Preakness, Rachel Alexandra. Who can forget that day and that special filly? She, of course, the last filly to beat the boys in that race, and she is the 5th filly to do it in the history of the Preakness Stakes. Today, Swiss Skydiver for Ken McPeak looks to become number 6, if she can pull it off. She has her work cut out for her, though. That is a salty group that she will face in the Preakness later this afternoon. Dustin Fabian is with First Bet, formerly known as Express Bet. I think sometimes you still see it referred to as Express Bet, so if you're confused, don't be. You can go by either one, and he's with me now here on the Equine Forum. Dustin, good morning.
Mike, good to talk to you. How's it going today?
Things are good, bud. Things are good. You know, you hear that call of Rachel Alexandra, and you think back to that moment and all the great moments we've seen in the Preakness Stakes history. You know, Sunday Silence Easy Goer, Big Brown barreling through Baltimore, American Pharoah, Justify. There have been so many. This is a really special day, whether it be on the third Saturday in May or the first Saturday in October.
Absolutely. You know, it took us a little longer to get here this year, but, you know, it's kind of funny. This is going to be, I think I was talking to some colleagues the other day. This is going to be my first Preakness from home since 2012, so it's a bit of a bummer. Chomping at the bit to getting back down to Pimlico next year, but, you know, it's special that we're able to have this race, especially with all the craziness that, you know, and all the uncertainty that we didn't know if there was going to be a Triple Crown in 2020. And, you know, we've made it. We're here and we're ready to, from the Express Bet First Bet side, we're ready to take some bets and help you tier your horses to the finish.
All right, let's start there. Let's get that straightened out here for people, because I've received that question many, many times from folks, and I say, listen, it's still Express Bet. Yes, the new branding is First Bet. So what are we going with? First Bet, Express Bet? How does that all play together for our listeners?
You know, let me set the record straight, I guess. So, you know, Express Bet, Express Bet is still alive and kicking. You know, we're happy. You know, we've been a brand for 20 years. We've been, in my opinion, the most trusted name in online horse betting since 2002. And, you know, we're not going anywhere. And really what First Bet is a new product from the Express Bet team. You know, Belinda Stronach and the first group were doing so much great stuff within the industry. And, you know, really what First Bet is, it's a different way to bet. It's a different betting app, and it's a betting app that has a little more handicapping stuff built into it, a little more insight built for, you know, people who may not be versed with reading the daily racing form. There's a lot of confusing stuff in there. There's a lot of numbers. What First Bet does, it takes all those stats, it takes all those angles, it calculates based on past races, and it comes out and it says, hey, based on what it takes to win a race like the Preakness at Pimlico, here's the horse we think you should bet. Now, whether you bet on First Bet, you bet on Express Bet, it's really the same thing. You're betting with the same wallet of money. If you have an account with First Bet, you have an account with Express Bet. If you have an account with Express Bet, you have an account with First Bet. So it's really, you know, two complementary products that are out there in the market to cater to a diverse group of horse bettors. You know, some people want to, they tell us, get out of my way, let me bet. That's great. And other people say, hey, help me handicap these races. And now for both groups, we've got an answer.
Yeah, fantastic explanation. So there you have it. First Bet, Express Bet, both viable options for those looking to bet the races this weekend. And there are plenty of choices if you're going to bet racing. Dustin, I told you I'd bring you on to talk about the graded stakes races at Pimlico, and there are several. Why don't we go ahead and start with the first of those, which is the second race of the afternoon, the Grade 3 Gallarette. It's an all-stakes card, by the way, at Pimlico today, which is really cool. This one, 1 1/16 on the turf course. How'd you see the Gallarette?
You know, I think the thing I love about this Preakness card is there are so many great opportunities. And, you know, I commend trainers like Brad Cox and Mike Maker for shipping strings of horses out here, because, you know, when this card came out, everyone was kind of worried, you know, what's going to happen with Keeneland? What's going to happen with Belmont? There's all this competition that we're, you know, the Pimlico doesn't usually get when the Preakness is the third Saturday in May. So, you know, first of all, you look at this card and you're like, where am I going to take my shots? And I think the Gallarette is a great race to kind of, you know, it's the second leg of that early pick five. The pick fives at Pimlico, by the way, are 12% takeout. So, like, immediately I see that, I'm zeroed in. So, you know, I take a look at the Gallarette, and it's like you've got Juliet Foxtrot, who is just this buzzsaw Judmon horse, Brad Cox, Florent Giroux. This horse is supposed to win races. Fortunately, you know, she hasn't won for, you know, over a year. Not quite sure what the deal is. Kind of stopped in that Churchill race. She didn't show a ton in the mint julep when she was supposed to win it 8-5. So I think you respect her. You probably use her in a pick four. But I'm really intrigued by She's on the Warpath. I think that, you know, this is just a filly, or yeah, filly that's come into her own in the last, call it 8 months. And I think, you know, she's going to kind of sit a really good trip. There's, you know, not a ton of speed in here. She's outside of Juliet Foxtrot, so I'm hoping for Gabriel Saez, hoping he kind of takes it to her a little bit, sits right to her outside and makes a move. Ultimately, probably a race where you want to use both of those star filly, you know, graded stake or stakes winners in your pick five, in your pick four. But, you know, I'll take a nod. I'll take the better price. Go with She's on the Warpath. Kind of hopefully get that ball rolling to some bigger prices later in the card. But that's kind of the way I see the Gallarette. Two-horse race, but a little more focus on She's on the Warpath.
Yeah, and for what it's worth, she did finish in front of Juliet Foxtrot in the Grade 3 Mint Julep May 30th at Churchill. She was fourth. Juliet Foxtrot was sixth that day. So, you know, you're probably on the right path, at least taking a shot with a little better price, which She's on the Warpath and the Gallarette. How about the Grade 3 Miss Preakness? Short field, 6 furlongs. It's the fifth race of the day. Who wins that one?
You know, Mike, I think this is a race that a horse like Monday Call has to win. You know, Monday Call ran her eyeballs out at Ellis. She came back in that race at Churchill, the 8 bells, and just unfortunately for Brad Cox and Florent Giroux, she's a filly that needs the lead, has a ton of early speed, but was in a race with pretty much a horse that's kind of the same way in four graces that needs the lead and has a lot of early speed. And, you know, they threw down early. They went 22-44. Unfortunately for Monday Call, she was on the inside of that. So, you know, generally horses on the inside of a speed duel kind of take it a little harder than the horses on the outside. What I liked about that effort, frankly, she did finish fourth. It wasn't, you know, the best race, but she didn't quit either. You know, generally 7 furlongs, they went 22-44, 108 and change. They were flying out there, and, you know, she obviously backed out of it for the win, but she didn't stop running. She was beaten 5 lengths. This race kind of reminds me of the Chick Lang on Thursday with Yao Pon for Steve Asmussen. How just kind of the best horse in the race, went to the lead, didn't really look back. I think if you're going to bet Monday Call, you might want to try to get a little creative underneath. Maybe use a long shot like a Princess Katie at 15-1, or, you know, even a Sound Machine at a smaller price at 4-1 to kind of back into an exacta. I think, you know, horses like Ain't No Elbers or Wicked Whisper probably going to take a little more money than Princess Katie or Sound Machine, but they may, those two latter horses may fill out an exacta, may fill out a trifecta, and you may still be able to get paid, even if you're, you know, Monday Call, who's 7-5 morning line, probably going to go a little shorter than that, but, you know, I think she's probably your pick four, pick five single, but, you know, probably can comfortably use her on top of some exactas and trifectas to make a little bit of money. It's a long card, and, you know, if you can start with a couple winners at the front end, you get a little confidence going, you get that bankroll up, and you're feeling better.
Well, talking with Dustin Fabian from First Bet and Express Bet here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, walking through the graded stakes at Pimlico on this Saturday afternoon. Race 6 is the Grade 2 Dinner Party Stakes, formerly known as the Dixie, 1 1/16 on that gorgeous turf course at Old Hilltop. What about that race, Dustin?
I actually really like, I like a 12-1 shot in here. I handicapped this race a couple of times, and every time I keep coming back to True Valor. Breaking from the rail, 12-1 on the morning line. I think the race just really fits for a horse with his style. You know, you've got Factor This on the outside, Brad Cox, Florent Giroux, I keep saying it, but, you know, this horse kind of, that horse needs the lead. Nearly won the Turf Classic at Churchill going wire to wire. That's a Grade 1, so obviously he's the class of the field. But, you know, what jumped out at me was Mike Maker went back to the drawing board with Some Like It Hot Brown after really just a race where he threw in the towel early in the Turf Classic, did not like being rated off the pace. They put Paco Lopez on this horse. You don't put Paco Lopez on a horse to sit third or fourth. You know, Some Like It Hot Brown won the Grade 2 Bernard Baruch at Saratoga going gate to wire. So this is a horse that wants to be on the lead. You've got Factor This on the outside who wants to be on the lead. You've got Iris Straight in between them who usually runs on or near the lead. So I think you're going to get a pace in this race. And, you know, True Valor is a horse. This weekend a year ago, he won Grade 2 City of Hope Mile at Santa Anita. After that, he kind of, you know, they kind of probably, you know, weren't as successful as they'd have liked to have been. Ran him in the Breeders' Cup Mile. He finished 10th. Ran him in the Kill Row in March at Santa Anita. He was fourth, beaten a length. So he's kind of had some up and down since then. Came over to the Graham Motion Barn. We all know Graham Motion is a phenomenal trainer, works wonders. Ran him back in the Turf Classic, first start with Motion off the layoff. I thought he just got a weird trip that day. He was sitting second, which is completely out of his game. That race obviously fell apart late. The closers came running. Factor This held around, you know, held his ground, but Digital Age, Rock Emperor, everybody else who was in the early fray dropped out of it. I think True Valor is the horse to have in here. I think you kind of match him up with Factor This and some exactas, but, you know, fingers crossed we get to 12-1 on True Valor, and we hope, you know, hope he runs his race because I think he's sitting on a really nice effort.
All right, that would be a nice price in race 6, the Dinner Party Stakes. Two more graded stakes to look at, the Grade 3 Frank DeFrancis Memorial Dash, which is race 7, 6 furlongs on the main track, and of course the race, usually the middle jewel of the Triple Crown, but this year the final jewel of the crown, that is the Preakness Stakes. Let's take a look at the DeFrancis Memorial Dash, Dustin. We've got about 4 minutes, so we'll focus on these two races. How'd you see the DeFrancis?
Yeah, DeFrancis, you know, we can go fast on the DeFrancis because I think they're going to go fast on the track. I think Landeskog, horse to beat, 5-2 morning line, probably goes lower than that. So I think you take Landeskog on top and you try to get some nice closing runs from Eastern Bay, who's a Claudio Gonzalez horse. Claudio Gonzalez, obviously, he's always firing on all cylinders in the Mid-Atlantic, so Landeskog over Eastern Bay and Nitrous for second and third there.
Yeah, somehow I skipped over the Black-Eyed Susan. That's the race preceding the Preakness, race 10. So let's talk about that one before we get to the Preakness Stakes.
Yeah, I think Bonnie South is your late pick 5, late pick 4 single. She's the kind of filly she's supposed to win races like this. She's Judmont, she's Brad Cox. She's been facing Swiss Skydiver, Speech, Venetian Harbor, Harvey's Lil Goyle, you know, really just her class is here. If she doesn't win a race like this, she's already won the Fairground Oaks. She's a standout. She's supposed to win this race, and I think she gets the job done. I don't see a lot standing in her way unless something crazy happens, but she's the right horse to have at 7-5, and I think, like I said, that's your single in all the late wagers.
All right, then that Black-Eyed Susan is part of our coverage this afternoon, 4 to 6 Eastern here on the network in partnership with NBC Sports Audio Network. Make sure you join us 4 to 6 on affiliates across the country, SiriusXM Satellite Radio, and streaming worldwide, horseracingradio.net. All right, now the million-dollar Preakness, mile and 3/16. I mentioned the final leg of the Triple Crown this year. It's been a wild year, but at least we are contesting these three races, and we've got a good one here in the Preakness.
Great Preakness, and this is such a fascinating race because I think it's a chess match between a number of top-level jockeys. We know Johnny Velasquez has to send on Authentic. That horse doesn't want to rate. I wish he wanted to rate because I think that would make him a cinch in this race, but he's going to be sending from that outside post, and you really have to look at what's Horacio Caramano's going to do on New York traffic. What's Florent Giroux going to do on Thousand Words? Conceivably, you wouldn't think that the two Baffert horses would be butting ends on the front, you know, up front, but Thousand Words is blinkers on. He won his last race, Gate to Wire, in the Shared Belief, the best, probably the best race of his life. So he's probably going to be up there. And then you look at what's Robbie Alvarado going to do on Swiss Skydiver? What's Brian Hernandez going to do on Art Collector? I think ultimately this race comes down to if Art Collector can get that trip, kind of the, I'll call it his bluegrass trip, where he sat just off the pace. You know, love to see him sit in third or fourth, maybe two lengths behind Authentic. I'd love to have a horse with Authentic nose to nose, kind of making him work for it a little bit. Make no mistake about it, Authentic earned his Kentucky Derby win. He went 46-110. You know, fast time for the Derby, slight, just over 2 minutes for the mile and a quarter. But he had the benefit of everybody else was watching Tis the Law that day. Johnny Velasquez on Authentic was watching Tis the Law. Everyone behind them was watching Tis the Law. And the expectation was Authentic's going to quit. Well, now you've got a race where everyone's watching Authentic, and I don't think that, you know, any of the jockeys I mentioned, you know, Alborado, Caramanos, they're going to let Johnny Velasquez take this field, you know, 24-48, 111, and just win the Preakness in a romp. And I think Authentic has a big shot in here, but I think you have to take the chance with Art Collector that he's going to sit behind. He missed the Derby. That was a bummer because he was going to be my Derby pick. He was going to be probably 5-6 to 1 in the Derby instead of probably 2 to 1 today, but missed the run for the Roses. The good news is he only missed one workout in that time. His workouts since have been solid. So I think you use Art Collector and Authentic on top. I'm being really creative, by the way, picking the two favorites. And then I think underneath them, you probably try to get, you know, a couple price horses in either to split them in the trifecta or to finish underneath them in the trifecta. I'm looking at, you know, Live Your Beast Life, Mr. Big News, Max Player. My stand's going to be I'm going to try to beat Swiss Skydiver in 1,000 words. I don't think either of them is quite well positioned to run a huge race going a mile and 3/16. So I'm going to bet them to be out of the trifecta, and I'm going to hope that Live Your Beast Life, Max Player, or Mr. Big News can kind of, you know, run second or third with Art Collector and Authentic in the other spot. And probably, you know, we're not going to hit a home run. It won't be a grand slam, but, you know, solid double with a nice payout would wrap up the day pretty nicely for me.
All right, Dustin Fabian. Dustin, appreciate you walking through those races with us here this morning. We'll remind people to go to expressbet.com if they want to learn more about playing the races at ExpressBet. You've got First Bet, that is 1ST Bet, the other division, if you will, the other product put out by ExpressBet, as you explained earlier, and lots of action today, including a tournament which you can win seats to the BC NHC and the Pegasus World Cup, Breeders' Cup too. So a lot of things there taking place at ExpressBet, and ExpressBet.com is the place to go. Dustin, appreciate the visit, my friend.
Anytime, Mike. Have a great Preakness Day, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, you too. And that interview, like all of our interviews, brought to you by Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Embrace your passion. Wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. I'm back to visit with NBC Racing analyst Randy Moss right after this on the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on HRRN.
Twin Spires is the best place to bet the Preakness Stakes, and we've got a fantastic bet back offer for every race at Pimlico this Saturday. Simply use the code HRRNBB when you opt in and get up to $10 back if your first win bet doesn't win but runs second or third. That's right, money back if you run second or third. Twin Spires, the official betting partner of the Kentucky Derby. Additional terms apply to bonus. Must be 18 plus or legal wagering age. Void where prohibited. See twinspires.com for details. Terms and conditions apply. Wager responsibly. If you're having a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Pons Family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making such stallions as Malibu Moon. Our current stallion roster includes Mosler by Warfront and Divining Rod by Tappet. Maryland's training center allows us to provide full service from starting youngsters to getting them to the races. We can also help you experience all the excitement of ownership with our partnerships, from the folding barn to the racetrack. Get in the game with Country Life Farm. Visit us at CountryLifeFarm.com.
Discover the thrill of affordable race ownership with My Racehorse. My Racehorse features multiple horses at tracks coast to coast trained by top trainers like Todd Pletcher, Bob Baffert, Steve Asmussen, and Linda Rice. My Racehorse provides you with exclusive owner updates, and all earnings are paid directly to your online account. Get started now for as little as $65 at MyRacehorse.com and the free MyRacehorse.com app.
My Racehorse is offering securities only through the use of an offering circular for this part of the offering statement qualified by the Securities and Exchange Commission under Tier 2 of Regulation A. A copy of the offering circular may be obtained at myracehorse.com.
Adina Springs bred and raced Austin McGann's best son in Horse of the Year and Hall of Famer Ghost Sapper. Now one of the most consistently brilliant sires this century, producing 11% black type winners, 6% graded winners, and 17% black type horses, highlighted by 12 grade 1 winners, 8 millionaires, and 5 champions. Adina Springs also bred and raced Ghost Sapper's best son, champion, multiple grade 1 winner, and Hall of Famer Shaman Ghost, who became the first horse in 3 decades to reel off this historic grade 1 double.
It's going to be a photo finish!
Shaman Ghost out towards the middle of the track. It's Shaman Ghost, an overwhelming force in the last 16th of a mile. Shaman Ghost has beaten Midnight Storm.
Seeing is believing with Shaman Ghost. Believe in the first Shaman Ghost yearlings appearing at the sales this fall. Learn more at AdinaStallions.com.
Hi, this is Steve Buttleman, the official bugler at Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Derby, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
It's funny, I was talking to his daughter, Tammy, earlier in the year, and I said, you know what, I think I'm going to win the Derby for your dad, but I was thinking 1,000 words. There's no better feeling than to win the Kentucky Derby. Unfortunately, I wish he could have been there, seen it live. I don't know how he would have handled the winner's circle scrub there. Might have killed him, but that was something else. And then Jimmy getting hurt in the paddock, breaking his arm, and all the horse scratching. I mean, the emotions were just like, I felt like it was in a dryer, just getting tumbled around. And then for the horse to pull it out and win it after everything, after the whole year, and he wins the Derby. I mean, it's an amazing story, and I'm just really fortunate that it happened.
That's Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert talking about winning the Kentucky Derby on September 5th for B. Wayne Hughes and Spendthrift Farm and the special day that was for him. And then he talked about some of the chaos that ensued not only after the race where Bob was, well, knocked on his backside by Authentic in the winner's circle. And, of course, he talked about 1,000 Words and his assistant, Jimmy Barnes, and 1,000 Words flipping in the paddock right before the race. Not the way you drew it up for Hall of Famer Bob Baffert, and nobody knows more about that situation than the man who was talking about it on NBC television, and that's Randy Moss, who works alongside Mike Tirico, Jerry Bailey, and the great team at NBC to bring you that coverage. And he was there, he has seen it, and Randy, I guess it just ties into 2020 and the strange year that we've seen with the Triple Crown.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's a cliche, Mike, but, I mean, we've all been on a roller coaster ride, obviously, in 2020, but Baffert has been on, like, one of those screaming, really scary roller coaster rides with the huge drops and then the elevations, and it was really a remarkable story, wasn't it, to see Authentic win after all the Baffert stable's been through this year.
Yeah, Charlatan, the Doll, top horses that were being pointed for the Kentucky Derby early in the year, both off the trail, obviously. He ends up with Authentic and 1,000 Words, and then the situation with 1,000 Words before the race and then getting it done with Authentic. And then afterwards, what Authentic did in the winner's circle, I've never seen Bob get knocked around like that before, but I'm sure he's never been knocked around like that, at least not on national television, but that was something interesting to watch.
Yeah, he said he was embarrassed more than anything else. Luckily, the turf course was a little soft, you know. And then in between the Nadal and Charlatan, you know, and then Authentic and 1,000 Words in the Derby, you had Uncle Chuck and Cezanne, who a lot of people thought were better than Authentic and better than 1,000 Words. And then they didn't pan out in their final preps for the Derby. So it's back to Plan A in the Kentucky Derby, and obviously it turned out to be good enough. I thought for my money, Mike, all of the Triple Crown race wins that Baffert has had, it's either 15 or 16. I got to go back and count again, but it's a lot.
Yeah.
I thought his job training Authentic to the Kentucky Derby was the best job that Baffert's best training job that he's ever had in a Triple Crown race.
Yeah, tough to argue with that. And I think tough to argue with what Bob said after the race on NBC, where he said that he's had some tremendous rides on his horses in the Kentucky Derby, but the ride that John Velasquez gave Authentic was really, really special.
It was a veteran heady kind of ride. Velasquez said after the Derby that with Authentic breaking from the outside post and the way he had started in the Santa Anita Derby from an outside post, he and Baffert were both kind of anticipating that Authentic wouldn't break all that sharply from the gate. He didn't break badly, but he broke maybe a length and a half, certainly behind Tis the Law and some of the other horses to his inside. But having prepared for that and having some concern in his mind about Authentic getting the mile and a quarter, I mean, the strategy for Velasquez going in was just, if he could get away with it, just to carefully, you know, mete out his speed during the first quarter of a mile and kind of baby him to that first turn and maybe play possum a little bit with the other jockeys to his inside. And then at the last possible minute, kind of spurt away from the others and drop in, hopefully, on a clear lead. And that's exactly what he was able to do. And I think another important component to the Authentic win, and it was kind of a perfect storm. I mean, a lot of things developed in favor of Authentic. But because of the scratches during Derby week of Art Collector and King Guillermo, you had the withdrawal of a couple of the horses that could conceivably have applied pace pressure to Authentic in the middle part of the race, going down the backstretch. They both had enough speed and enough quality to be able to do that. And with those two horses out, and with New York traffic certainly not the same horse that he was in the Haskell, and with Manny Franco strategizing probably that Authentic couldn't get the mile and a quarter, and he's going to wait until, you know, much later in the race to make his move, Authentic basically had a base on balls during the middle part of the race that he might not get today.
Visiting with NBC Racing analyst Randy Moss here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Randy, I started the show this morning by talking about the fact that the way that the three Triple Crown races were run this year, not the most ideal way that we'd like to see it all come together, but I also credited each of the racetracks for finding some way to work them in. As Steve Asmussen pointed out in an interview earlier this week, he said, you know, these three-year-olds are only three once, and making sure that they had the opportunity to compete in the Triple Crown races is significant on a lot of levels, and I think we'd all agree with that. When you are asked about this year's Triple Crown season, how do you sum it up? How do you describe that to people?
Exactly the same way you just did, basically, Mike, that it's not perfect. It's certainly not how anybody would have wanted 2020 to develop in terms of, you know, the jumbled up Triple Crown races and everything. But that the bottom line is that we still had a Triple Crown and gave these horses a chance to compete in, you know, a once in a lifetime opportunity, and the owners, trainers, breeders, jockeys involved as well. And we'll see what happens today. But I mean, so far it's been a good Triple Crown. I mean, Tis the Law ran an outstanding race in the Belmont Stakes. It would have been nicer if the Belmont Stakes had a little more quality. If the Santa Anita Derby, for example, you know, didn't come a week before the Belmont Stakes to give some of those horses a chance to compete in all three legs, or at least in the first two legs of the Triple Crown, that would have been nice. But Tis the Law ran a heck of a race in the Belmont Stakes, and obviously the Kentucky Derby was an outstanding race. And even though we don't have Tis the Law today in the Preakness is shaped up as a really good way to close out the Triple Crown. And that was the race, honestly, Mike, when we first got this rescheduled Triple Crown. The Preakness was the race that I was most worried about in terms of quality, because it comes up just 5 weeks before the Breeders' Cup Classic. You know, you see what Barkley Tagg has chosen to do with Tis the Law, to skip the Preakness and wait for the Classic. I was afraid that that would be the case for a lot of the horses and that the Preakness would suffer as a result. But fortunately, the Preakness is a really, really good race.
Yeah, it certainly is. Let's go ahead and talk a little bit more about the Preakness then, Randy. And you mentioned Authentic and maybe not getting that same trip that he got in the Kentucky Derby 4 weeks ago. He'll be the likely favorite, although I noticed yesterday in some of the early wagering that Art Collector was getting more money than Authentic. So Art Collector was actually the favorite last night. That's with limited money in the pool, and I'm sure it'll change as we make our way closer to post time today. But how do you see the race unfolding? How do you see it shaping up later today?
I think it's going to be pretty close in odds between Authentic and Art Collector. I think the big difference we're likely to see in the Preakness today, as opposed to the Kentucky Derby, is that in the Derby, I think a lot of the riders in the race, and trainers as well, in their pre-race strategizing, were skeptical, as a lot of us were, about Authentic getting the mile and a quarter. And so they basically left him alone. Now he's got the target on his back. Now he's proven that in the right scenario with the right setup that he can not only get a mile and a quarter, but he can finish the race out with some determination like he showed when he turned away Tis the Law in the last quarter of a mile. So I think it's less likely today that he's going to get away with the same kind of scenario that he had at Churchill Downs. You've got Art Collector who's got, I don't think he's got the quick early speed. He does have speed, but I don't think he has the same level of speed as Authentic. But he's got enough speed and enough quality to turn up the heat on Authentic in the middle part of the race. And I think you could possibly say the same thing for Swiss Skydiver. And the tactics might be a little different with New York Traffic this time. Sappy Joseph, the trainer of New York Traffic, had told me before, actually the morning of the Kentucky Derby, I said, so what about Authentic? What's the strategy going to be with New York Traffic vis-a-vis Authentic? And Sappy told me, we're not going to give Authentic the early lead. If he wants the early lead, he's going to have to earn it. We're going to make him run for it to get the early lead. Well, that's not what happened. I mean, Paco Lopez did not ride New York Traffic that way. He didn't really hustle New York Traffic the first part of the race in the run to the first turn, as I think Sappy Joseph had expected him to. So now you have a new rider. You have Horacio Karamanos on New York Traffic, and Sappy has once again told us that his instructions to Karamanos are going to be take the early lead if you can get it.
Yeah.
I'm a little skeptical as to whether New York Traffic actually has enough early speed to beat Authentic to the lead. When you look at a lot of New York Traffic's races, or you look at all of them, I mean, quite a few of the races where he was really forwardly placed, the Haskell being the exception, were slow-paced races. The races at the fairgrounds, the prep races at the fairgrounds this spring, were the Risen Star of the Louisiana Derby, were both slow-paced races. The Matt Wynn was a slow-paced race, and they actually hustled New York Traffic in that race, and he couldn't get the lead. But he still could turn up the heat a little bit more on Authentic, along with Art Collector and Swiss Skydiver. So, I don't think Authentic is going to get the same kind of pace set up.
Well, it should be interesting. Post time for the Preakness, 5:36 Eastern time, $1 million purse, mile and 3/16 on that main track at Old Hilltop. We'll have the radio coverage 4 to 6 Eastern. Randy and the NBC TV team kick it off at 4:30 Eastern time. So a lot of coverage coming up coast to coast and worldwide this afternoon. Randy, I'm going to put you on the spot before I let you go. Who ends up winning the Preakness?
I like Art Collector. I do.
Yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't shock me to see Authentic win. I think he's going to get the early lead. I think he's probably going to get a clear early lead, in my opinion. Length and a half. But I think he'll have to work harder to get it, and I think he'll face more pressure in the middle part of the race. I think Art Collector on paper is just about as good of a horse as Authentic in all your speed figure metrics and the analytics and things like that. I think that's why right now he's almost on even terms with Authentic in the early wagering. And I think, he's proven that he can take a lot of heat during the middle part of a race. He can run fast and he can finish well. So I'll give Art Collector a slight edge. I wouldn't be surprised if the pace is quick enough to see Mr. Big News run another good race. I mean, he looked like he could possibly win it at the quarter pole of the Kentucky Derby when he rolled up there on the outside. And it's not like he had this huge advantageous setup. It wasn't a extremely fast pace in the Derby that set up his closing kick. He didn't get through on the rail. He was actually wide on both turns. Nothing fluky at all about Mr. Big News's performance. So I could see him, you know, being part of the trifecta or even the exacta again today.
Now, what a moment it would be, too, if Art Collector were to win it for trainer Tom Drury Jr., owner Bruce Lunsford, jockey Brian Hernandez Jr. would certainly be special. Randy, listen, I'm up against the final break, but really appreciate the visit here this morning. Thank you for taking the time. And, again, we'll encourage people, if they can't be on radio, tune into the TV coverage, and that's 4:30 Eastern time this afternoon. And greatly appreciate it, my friend.
Thanks, Mike. I enjoyed it. Take care.
All right. Randy Moss here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Going to be back to wrap this one up. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the 2020 Triple Crown and Breeders' Cup.
Power.
Caraconti has won.
Passion.
It's Caraconti winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Caraconti and O'Dor! Caraconti!
Gainsway stallion Caraconti, a precocious Group 1 winner as a 2-year-old and a 3-time Grade 1 winner, including a scintillating win in the Breeders' Cup Mile in 1:32 and 4/5. Caraconti hails from the immediate family of leading sire King Mambo, with a top female line which includes the hugely influential champion Miesque as his third dam. Caraconti's first crop of 3-year-olds includes graded stakes winners Soleil Volante and Kenzai Warrior, along with stakes winners Carrick, Tornasol, Catil, and Great Winner. Recently, Spanish Love Affair rolled to an 11-length debut win at Gulfstream, value priced at just $10,000. He has the performance, the pedigree, and the physical. Come see Caraconti at Gainsway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
46 Solutions makes technology easy. We manage the day-to-day technology needs of Kentucky businesses by offering 24/7 help desk support, infrastructure design, and cybersecurity protection to keep your focus on your business. Our residential engineers can design and install media rooms, home theaters, and make sure your home Wi-Fi network runs smoothly with the best speeds available. Visit 46solutions.com today. 46 Solutions is your technology partner.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 33 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in the state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Pena, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Well, you'll want to be sure and read the October 3rd issue of Blood Horse Magazine, which features articles like Buddy System, owner Saul Kuman perfecting the world of partnerships, meeting the challenge. The Keeneland September yearling market survived the pandemic but needs to find a way to thrive in the future. And Letters from Rockland Farm by Josh Pons of Country Life, continuing the saga tying farm to today's world. You can go to Blood Horse to read those. Download a copy of Blood Horse magazine and tablet today from the App Store or Google Play, or go to shop.bloodhorse.com. And don't miss their special going on now. 10 weekly issues for only $10. Go to bloodhorse.com/TC. Well, my thanks to all of our guests for making this show possible today. Pete Rotundo from the Breeders' Cup, Shannon Arvin, the new president and CEO of Keeneland, Christy Holden, our industry star of the week from Country Life Farm, Safi Joseph Jr., who texted into the show after trying to get a hold of him, and he got busy there this morning. We'll forgive you, Saf. Dustin Fabian from First Bet, and Randy Moss of NBC Sports just a short time ago. If you missed any portion, head over to our website, horseracingradio.net, and check out the podcast. Thanks to everyone who took time to weigh in on our question of the day. Scott says he's listening on XM 201 in Rhode Island on the way to one last beach day. Good for you, Scott. And Michael, good morning from Saratoga Springs, he says. He's tuned in on the SiriusXM app. Appreciate everybody tuning in coast to coast and worldwide. For my producer, Lee Delapina, for Chauncey, handling all of our social media, I'm Mike Pena. Week off. Go Steelers.